For the second Sunday running during Advent, our Gospel reading focuses on John the Baptist, the one who prepared the way for Jesus' public ministry. And we in turn consider him as we prepare through the season of Advent for the celebration of Jesus' birth at Christmas. The story has moved on from our Gospel reading of last Sunday, for John the Baptist is in prison. Now, the reason he was there was because he had publicly criticized Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee and Perea, the titular ruler under the Roman authority. For Herod Antipas had seduced his brother Philip's wife, got her to divorce his brother and to marry him. And John the Baptist rather publicly said that wasn't acceptable behavior. And saying so was not acceptable behaviour as far as Herod Antipas was concerned, and therefore he had John the Baptist arrested and put in prison. That's the background to our Gospel reading. And in our Gospel reading, John the Baptist has his doubts, do you notice? He's really asking the question, did I get it right when I baptised Jesus? Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another, is his question. I don't know about you, but I find it very reassuring that a great saint like John the Baptist, as I said last week, he's one of the characters in the Bible I particularly admire, that a great saint like him still had his doubts. For there is nothing wrong, as Christians, for having doubts, and being honest about them, and admitting that you actually have doubts sometimes. For John the Baptist, the reason was no doubt due to his own circumstances in prison, and Jesus obviously hadn't quite turned out doing what John the Baptist expected him to do. And in some cases, probably Jesus doing quite opposite to what he expected him to do. Jesus wasn't fasting, and he was mixing with what might be best described as the riffraff of society. But John the Baptist does what we should do. He articulates his doubts, and he seeks answers. In his case, he sends some of his followers to ask questions of Jesus. Notice that in response, Jesus doesn't condemn or criticize John the Baptist. Quite the reverse. He praises him. As a prophet, and back to what David was saying, as a fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. His answer is, go and tell John the Baptist what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. That response of Jesus as we read it is yet another example of how we have to understand and know the Old Testament in order to fully understand the New Testament. For no doubt the disciples of John the Baptist and many in the crowd listening to what the discussion would recognize references to the prophecies of Isaiah, particularly part of Isaiah 35, our first reading this morning, and of the parts. Look at what I'm doing, says Jesus. Isn't that what Isaiah the prophet said would happen? Don't you see, I do fulfill what the Old Testament promised. So this morning I would say to you, if you have doubts, don't be afraid to articulate them. Don't hide them or feel guilty for having them. Rather, seek answers, seek Christian counsel, and yes, read scripture and pray. John the Baptist had doubts, and there's nothing wrong with it, as long as we do articulate them, seek help, counsel, and guidance. The second thing I note from the Gospel story is that God doesn't always work in the way we expect him to. I believe part of John the Baptist's problem, why he started questioning things, was that Jesus didn't initially turn out to be the sort of Messiah that he expected. John the Baptist, again, if you'd listened to the Gospel reading last week, preached judgment. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree. God has his winnowing fork gathering in the wheat, but he will burn the chaff, all part of the last week's Gospel reading. Jesus, of course, also preached repentance, just as John did. But also he showed mercy and pity, concern for the poor. He preached mercy and not just judgment. We ask the question, why doesn't God act? Why doesn't he do something now? Of course, often what we want is God to judge others for their failures, but of course to show great mercy for all of ours. Part of John the Baptist's and our problem is not realizing that God can work in ways other than the way that we think he should. Yes, we worship a God of mercy as well as a God of judgment. God works in different ways to what we expect him to do. And I think John the Baptist had to learn that too. And thirdly, from this passage, I would encourage us to see beyond outward appearances. John the Baptist's disciples go back to him in prison, and Jesus talks to the crowd. In the second half of our Gospel reading, he asks a whole series of what we call rhetorical questions about John the Baptist. What did you go out to see, etc., etc. John the Baptist, of course, didn't wear this season's must-have fashion look, camel's hair and a leather belt, as we heard last year. He didn't employ an image consultant like many politicians do these days. He was very unconventional. And people actually saw that he was genuine and real despite the outward appearance. And of course they responded. We heard about it last Sunday. Jesus endorses John the Baptist's ministry. He calls him a prophet, bearing in mind they hadn't had one for 400 years or so. And says he is one who fulfills Old Testament prophecy. Yes, God sometimes does work through the unconventional and the unusual. And we need to be spiritually alert to see it and in turn to respond to God at work. After all, Jesus' own arrival in this world, which we celebrate, yes, in less than 2 weeks' time, was also rather unconventional. Who were there? Only a few shepherds and a group of travelling Gentiles actually recognised who he was when he was born. So as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the coming of Jesus into our world, as we gather this evening to sing carols and rehear the story, let us learn from this story about John the Baptist this morning. Firstly, that it's not wrong to doubt, but to articulate those doubts and to seek help and to seek answers. Realize that God often works in ways other than what we expect him to, and be open to see God at work in ways we don't expect. And thirdly, to also see that he can work through unconventional people. So are we listening to him speaking to us, or are we dismissing the message because it doesn't come with the right image or in the way that we expect? I invite you to be quiet just for a moment and ask God to speak to you. Maybe take one particular thing from the Gospel reading or from what I've said. And then in turn, ask God to make each one of us willing to respond to what he has shown us this morning. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.